confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
MMA Madhouse Live would like to thank our sponsors, Bushido, Martial Arts and Fight Gear, Draco, Impact Sports, Intimidation Clothing, Jax Media, Pro-Am Belt, Clinch, Custom Mouth Guard, Vision, Smoke Shop and Glass Distribution, Crossroader Clothing, Triumph Fitness, Big T's Nightclub, Game Changer Clothing, Rear Naked Smoke, Clock Tower Pub, Ink Tank Tattoo, Central Oregon Trike, The Goat Locker Boxing Gym, and Garrett Fertig Announcing. You can find me at GarrettFertig.com. And remember to always hashtag support local MMA.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Madhouse Live. I want to thank another great sponsor, MMA Somnia, the fighter's resource for kick-ass sponsorships, advice, strategies that get you sponsored. They have great articles that we're posting all the time on MMAMadhouse.com. Like always, I have a partner in crime. This gangster is the baddest man on the mic this side of the Mississippi. Mr. Lapaki, welcome.
Selection. Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
He's critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls you nothing except your mother. And she spurts your monkey ass.
What's up, killer? How you been, brother?
It's been a up and down few days, buddy. But you know what? It's Wednesday night. We're going to tire some fights. And that'll mean that it's closer to the weekend, especially since I just decided today I'm going to do a three-day weekend, and so tomorrow's my Friday.
Woo! Dude, I tell you what, I feel like it's been 6 months since we've got to do a show. It just seems like so long. I know we did one last week, but we've been not doing a lot of the rogue shows, and I've been hosting other shows and working on other shows, and it's not the same as having my partner in crime. I've been, you know, 200 shows?
I wanted to talk to you about that. You know, I really kind of feel like you sold our relationship out, and you've been cheating on me with these other shows.
Well, you know, neither one of them was I ever supposed to be a co-host on. And it's become that, and I really, you know, I don't mind. It's fun. I'm getting to meet a lot of great people in the SoCal area. But the other show, you know, with Kimber and Dee on out of Oklahoma, I've been getting tied up with that more and more and more, and I don't mind it. I really don't. They got, you know, interesting fighters, and they got some kids we know, obviously, that are fighting for their organization. But it's just, it's not the same. Me and you've done, you know, what, 185 shows together or something, you know, just on this program, closer to 400 altogether. We just have a rhythm. We know how to just work, you know. It's different. I mean, I'm getting a good rhythm with Ray. I don't have a great rhythm at all with Rage in the Cage Radio at all because I don't do it enough with them. But with you, it's just secondhand nature, you know. It's like you're at the studio and we're just hanging out.
That it is, amigo. That it is.
And tonight, we're going to be hanging out talking Battle at the Bay 9. We've got the main event fighters. This is another Koga Combat event. You guys know, a lot of you know, 12, 13, 1400 of you logged on to watch their last stream on Madhouse, which was a beautiful set of numbers, which we're going to beat this time. But we're going to have Jeff Sweeney, and I know I'm going to butcher his last name, but Colt, what is it, Hauser, Hassenhauser? I know I'm not even close. It's German, I'm betting. But then we're going to wrap up the show with Joe. He's going to break down the rest of the card real quick and kind of go over some more information for any of the fans. They're going to get down there to the casino and watch the fights and gamble and have a good time. This will be a later card than their last one. This one is going to be a fight time of 7. And the last one, I'll be honest, I enjoyed that 3 o'clock start time. That was a great event. You know, fights were really great. I personally think that the fight that was stopped for the cut, the first fight, which was, oh man, how am I drawing a blank, man? Me and HR just talked about this last night. Dang it. You didn't watch it with me, but I felt that the fight, you know, was good, and I thought that it got stopped. It was one of Will's kids. Oh, man, why am I drawing a blank? Man, why I can't think of it. But either way, it doesn't matter. I thought the fight was a good fight, and I was bummed that a cut stopped it. I really wanted to see the fight continue. It's a tough thing with some of these kids. You got to really, you know, pay attention to these cuts. And I know a lot of fans, including myself out there, were bummed that the fights got, you know, stopped due to a cut. But all in all, great event. I understand why they stopped it. I don't have any problems with it, you know. Was it the Lopez fight, HR? That's right. HR just threw it to me. But either way, I'll tell you what, dude, that Anthony Reyes, that kid, oh my God, that kid's just a beast. I mean, everywhere. He had a beautiful, well-rounded game. And, hey, no, HR, wasn't that the Murano fight? It was the Murano Pinete fight.
I don't know, but I thought that when we talked with Joe last week, Sean Williams was on the fight card. Did I misunderstand that?
No. He was. I don't know what happened. We can ask him tonight.
Because when I was talking to Eddie, I was like, let me know how Sean's fight goes. And he's like, Sean who? And I'm like, Sean Williams, dude. He's fighting at the same time, you know, on the same, you know. And Eddie was like, I don't know what you're talking about, bro. I'm like, what? I'm like, dude.
Dude, you should go back and watch Corey Davila's short choke on Anderson. He threw it from the weirdest position, and I mean, just out of nowhere. Fight was over.
Nice. It's always good. That's always good, man.
Definitely was impressed once again with Reyes, man. That kid really, really, really came alive, man. Just a great fight. I think it was the Cassandra Moores. I honestly, walking to the cage, I could see a little bit of nerves in her. She got in there. She beautiful, quick jab to start the fight. She took a left, and something in her was like, I don't like this. And the fight ended very quickly. I think it was Shelby Miller was the girl who ended up getting the victory, TKO strikes, but I mean, that old girl, Shelly Miller, came on and put about 30 punches on that girl in the first 15 seconds.
Damn. That sounds like excitement.
Dude, it was. I mean, but I still think the best fight out there, I think the Reyes-Martin fight, I thought that was a great fight. I know Reyes just was one step better than him in every possible direction. And, I mean, it was a good fight, just a good fight. But Anthony was able to really display himself. And that's why I'm excited because, you know, that card was great. And now tonight we're going to be talking about Battle at the Bay, November 8th. Once again, this will be a free stream. You guys will be able to find it on MMAMadhouse.com, RearNakedSmoke.net. You'll also be able to find it on CombatGamesMMA.com. All those sites are going to have this free stream. We're going to talk to the main eventers tonight, Colt and Jeff. But all the way through, Dustin's on this card versus Zach Kahn. That's a good fight. We talked about that last week, I believe, with Joe.
Yeah, we did.
J.D. Burns, he's on this card.
Thomas Hopper.
He's fighting Hendricks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he is.
I'm having a problem with my wireless right now.
Oh, that's fine. You want me to text it to you? I can text you the fight card. Hey, by the way.
I got to figure out what the hell's going on with my phone.
I got folks on the call lines. If you want
to... Dude, I'm going to say this, bro. I'm going to say this, man. I thought, you know, it was good to see Midtown throw down five back last weekend. It was great seeing everybody, you know, in Oregon MMA. And I look forward to the next Midtown. And, you know, hopefully some of the fights that Ben makes early on are able to stick to it. He had a lot of drop-offs on this one, and that's never the fault of the promoter. But hopefully, you know, he'll be back here in the next 2 to 3 months with another show, and it'll be all good to go.
Well, you know, we're talking November 8th. Next week, we will have the one and only, the king of conspiracies, the matchmaker to the stars, the guy, Derek from Budo Fights. Remember, it's not just cage fights. It's Budo Fights live on the show with us next week to break down that great event. Which I know, are you coming over for that one?
I believe I will be coming over, but I won't be coming over until the day of the fights, and it'll be like I won't get to Bend until like an hour before the fights.
Will you be crashing at my place that night?
I would expect to be crashing at your place unless something else pops up.
I got a new casting couch in the studio now, and before I break it in,
nice.
I'll let you sleep on it. I'll let you sleep on it before I break it in.
Yeah, let's make sure you don't be breaking in my sleeping couch.
Hey, by the way, I've got all that stuff for you too. I've got I got gear. I got your gym bags. I got
yeah,
your
I need
underground.
I gotta pick those bags up.
Yeah, I've got you the bags. I've got you the underground battle T-shirt from Jeffrey and the boys down there. HR, I've got his too. I got Carl's too, but I've also got you those Team Quest stuff. I mean, I got you all kinds of stuff sitting in the studio. It's gonna be like Christmas.
I know, man. I love it.
You know, it's this weekend. You know, coming up, it's got, you know, obviously Invitka getting ready to go down. You know, and there's some good cards besides that. The African Fight League. Anybody who follows any African MMA like me and Lapaki, that's going down. Titan is obviously going down. I want to give a big shout-out, though, to Madhouse's favorite female fighter in Invitka, girl we've been working with since she's an amateur. I just saw a picture today of me, you, and Amanda Bell Lapaki with a couple other schmucks back at the old studio. And it was really cool because we've known that girl for a long time. Amanda Bell's back with a brand new contract. She's been at Enix Gym, Animal House MMA, for quite some time. And she's been doing great there. I'm excited to see her, you know, get back into it and beat the shit out of some people.
And, dude, I'm just going to tell you, she looked awesome Saturday, dude. She looked in great shape, man. Her spirits were really high. I don't know that she's really going to have to cut that much weight for this fight, dude. I didn't think she was really carrying anything around that she's going to have a big hardcore weight cut. I think she was pretty much spot on Saturday night when I saw her. I mean, I didn't ask her about her weight. You know, I didn't. You know, you never want to talk to them about their weight right at the moment. But, yeah, man, it was great.
Okay, your opinion. Would you say she was at 150 or right or below it, above it?
I mean, if she was, she ain't over 155. I know that she wasn't over.
Okay.
I would say she was probably somewhere probably between that 150, 153. I mean, just looking at her, I mean, she had a hoodie on. But, you know, I mean, it gave her a big hug, and, you know, I didn't, you know, there was no squish going on.
Yeah, I'm super pumped, man, because, I mean, like, everything in her life's great. She's at a good new gym. Oh, excuse me. I don't know where that yawn came from, but I'm super excited to see her back on the big stage where I think, you know, she might have jumped a little soon earlier, but she put in her time on the circuits in Canada and here in America. I think she's ready. I think she proved she has
finishing power.
Pay attention to the board for a second. Okay. You're gone. I got you. 30. Hey, and anybody on hold, if you're calling in to the show, just press 1 and I'll get you live on air. If you're just listening, enjoy listening to this show. But for some reason, I just lost my partner in crime. That's all right, because you guys know how we do it. Yeah, hey, by the way, HR, for a second, I thought you were talking Prangley versus Lopez. Hey, 360, who do I got?
This is Colt.
Hey, man. I didn't know that was you all this time. You heard me butcher your name. So let's start off by, because I'm a dumb hillbilly from Texas, okay? I'm not going to lie, man. My education ain't that great. I'm punch drunk. That doesn't help. So for the fans, I know I got fans all around the world listening tonight, and we got some fans from the Midwest who are excited to see you fight. Can you introduce yourself? Tell us what gym you're fighting out of and what your current record is.
Yeah. My name is Colt Haushauer. I'm originally from Utah. I fight out of Utah normally. I just moved out to Orcas Island and started my own thing here. There wasn't an MMA gym here. I got a group of guys together and got them training and doing our own thing. And, so bringing a bunch of amateurs to the shows. He fought in the last show, Andy Negredo. He put a dude to sleep in a triangle. We got another fighter, Tyler Negredo. He also fought. These guys are all fighting on this card also. But anyways, our gym is Orcas Island Fight Camp. That's basically what we're fighting out of. So, yeah.
So we're doing our thing. Let me back up a little bit. Utah, you get into the sport there. Mm-hmm. Where did you get into the sport? What made you go to MMA? Were you athletic, college kid, football, wrestling?
Basketball player, man. I was a basketball player. I wish I would have wrestled at this point. But, no, everybody's a wrestler in Utah. So, I'm more of a jiu-jitsu guy. I've won most of my matches by submission. And, you know, I had a lot of issues. I've been fighting professionally 6 years now. I got into some trouble. And ever since I've been fighting, man, I've had my nose clean and going forward, you know, so. Fighting has definitely impacted my life in a positive manner. And that's how I got into fighting, because I was in trouble.
What part of Utah were you in, man? I used to live outside Salt Lake.
Yeah, I was from Richfield. I fought in Lehigh. I fought in all over. So I'm from Extreme
Combat. Lehigh?
I fought in Lehigh, yeah, before. For Extreme
Combat. Oh, in Lehigh.
No. Not the fighter we sponsor. Not the fighter we sponsor, the city.
Oh, I was like, dang, you fought my buddy?
Oh, no. Lehigh, it's a town. I fought in Lehigh. You know, it's Richfield, man. Yeah, it's a small town. I come from a very small town.
I'm more from the Ogden-Layton area, you know, the west side of the state. But I know exactly what
right,
you're talking
yeah.
about. They have some good events going on up and around Salt Lake. Did you
still fist?
Hit any... Yeah, good one right there.
Still fist. I crowned St. George's got a huge show. CFC Crown Fighting Championship. That was a big one. You know, we've had some big shows down there. Steve Mazzagotti is usually the ref for us down there. He's been my ref a couple times, which is, you know, a really cool thing when you get a big celebrity like that reffing for you. I love that. So, yeah.
Well, you're going to be going to do some work here on the Ace Battle at the Bay, your main event.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm fighting a tough guy, Jeff Sweeney. Dude, got some heavy, heavy hands. I mean, every fight I've ever seen, this guy is just knocking dudes out first round, you know. And I've, you know, all this film, he's knocking people out. That's what he does, you know. And I mean, he can submit you, too, because he put a dude in a figure four triangle the first time I've ever seen him fight live, you know. Yeah, I mean, he's a great guy, very humble, very scary, you know. When a dude's nice and humble and trains hard, you know, you're expecting a war. So, definitely going, and you know, I get along with these guys, and I fought his teammate JJ Lopez, which was a tough kid, and I mean, I think this is going to be fight of the night. I really do. I believe that we're going to go out there, let our hands go, and then we'll see what happens from there. So, yeah.
How do you like coming? I mean, let's be honest, you're kind of the going into his backyard, per se. This kid grew up fighting, you know, at Axe, and he's fought for Battle at the Bay as a pro, Cage Sport. I mean, you know, he's well known in the area. How do you like coming in as the maybe quote unquote bad guy, out of towner, you know?
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's very, yeah. It's you know, it's okay, because like I know in the end that Jeff respects me, Landon respects me, I respect those guys, and after it's all said and done, it's going to be okay. And I fought their teammate, JJ, last time. Like I said, we were co-main event last fight, JJ and I, and just fights out of that gym. And, you know, that was a good fight. I had a lot of fun in there with JJ banging it out. It was a good one. But, you know, us Orcas boys, we bring a pretty big crowd ourselves too, man. You know, so we have a pretty big following crowd also, because a lot of these kids that I'm training, Tyler Negretto, Andy Negretto, Joseph Seagal, they're all from the island, and they're all like third, fourth generation island boys, and they bring a big crowd when they come. Orcas Island is a huge supporter of the sport right now. So, yeah,
Seth, is that up above Kingston, or whereabouts is Orcas Island?
So you get on the Anacortes Ferry and you go towards Canada, you know, so other than that, I couldn't tell you. I don't know a whole lot about Washington. I've only been here like a year and a half, man, so, yeah.
You're like, I know where the gym is and my event, and that's it.
yeah, that's it. That's about as far as I've done, you know. All I do is work and train, man, you know. I work and work my 9 to 5, and then I get off.
It's funny, you know, you mentioned, you know, you've already fought one of Landon's kids. You're going to fight another one. Lopaki was supposed to fight Landon a few months ago.
Dude, we're never – okay, hold on. This is a misconception that you're making. Me and Landon are going to spar, and we just couldn't get the time.
And you're
going to
get beat up.
That's not
you're going to get beat up.
You're going to spar Landon.
No, dude.
And he's bringing
he's
his tough two-stripe white belt to it. He's
yeah,
Landon's my homeboy, and you know, it's just something that sounds like a fun time.
He's gonna make that limb.
Yeah, after this fight, we're trying to cross train with AKA. We fought my guy fought last show. Andy Negretto fought his guy, Landon, one of Landon's guys, and put him to sleep in the triangle. My guy did. Put this kid to sleep in a triangle last fight. But, you know, Landon knows way more than I'll ever know, and I'm training these guys. I need to be trained too. So that's the hardest part about this fight for me, is that I'm training myself for this fight, which, I mean, it's been tough and it's been hard, you know, but I'm doing it, so, yeah.
No, dude, any work you can get in with Landon, I've said this for probably a year and a half to 2 years now, there's two coaches in the Pacific Northwest that I can't really decipher who's the better guy to have in your corner. One is Landon at AKA, and then the other is Nick Gilardi down at Gracie Baja in Portland. And I think that as far as corner coaches go, both of those two guys are far above the rest. And, you know, no offense to the other coaches, they're good, but When I look for who's the best in the corner, I really like Landon. I've had the opportunity to be cage side right next to him working the corner, and I've had the opportunity to be cage side as Nick works the corner, and I think they're both fantastic. So any work you can get in with those guys would be hugely beneficial.
He really is. I think you're right. He really is. You know, he's a great coach. He's a great guy. I mean, like, since day one, meeting these guys 3 fights ago at the fight, he's been nothing but good to me and my teammates and everybody there. He's a friendly, good guy, and I can't wait to actually go train with those guys. I'm excited to get this fight over so I can go train with Jeff and JJ and those guys. But don't get me wrong, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna win this fight, Jeff. I'm gonna win this fight. I gotta tell him that. I'm definitely gonna win this fight.
Yep.
How long has it been since you last fought, Colt?
What's that?
How long has it been since your last fight?
It was 2.5 months ago, 3 months ago, I believe. Against JJ. Which was just a complete beast.
JJ is like this little sleeper that Landon's been hiding from everybody, and then he unleashes him every once in a while.
Dude, yeah, he's oh man, he hits like, oh dude, he hits so freaking hard. Yeah, cool. He hits hard.
Hey, I got a fan question from out in the Midwest. It says, Sweeney's never been out of the first round as a pro. Do you feel like you could use this to your advantage?
Yeah,
you think
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Could have an advantage? Go ahead.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I knew he's never been out of the first round. I do know that. And, I'm trying to end this in the first round too, man, you know. But I think since he hasn't been to the second round, third round, yeah, it's a whole different story once you start getting into the second round, third round. But I'm sure that Jeff trains for second and third rounds. You know what I mean? He's a pro. He's not, you know, I'm not just going to go out there and take him to the second round. He's going to be completely gassed. That's not going to happen. I mean, he is a pro. But and, you know, I don't want him to go to the second because then old Landon's going to tell him exactly what to do to come out the second round and get me. So I want to end it in the first round.
You know,
I don't want him to go back to Landon.
You know, I got to tell you, man, it's for me, I think it's great that you have this passion for the sport and that you fight and that you're not afraid to fight somebody that you eventually want to cross-train with. I see it, to me personally, I see it too much where guys are like, I know him, I don't want to fight him, he's my teammate, he's my cousin, my mother's to cut his hair, whatever the excuse is. I like the fact that you're like, look, man, I want to fight, you know, Jeff, and I want to win, but I also eventually want to go train with these cats. You know, why are you a little different than the norms that believe cross training is not the best thing for you?
Well, dude, you gotta look at it as a business thing too. You know, we're both out here making money. If I don't like somebody, I don't want to make that dude money. No, I want to make somebody else that I like money. You know what I mean? I don't want to. If I don't like a dude, why would I go fight him and make him money? But if I like a guy and I fight him, then we're both making money, so what's the big issue, you know? But, you know, there are times when you fight a guy you don't like just because he's an asshole, you know? You'll get those guys. Sorry, I don't know.
It's all right, bro. Trust me.
Hey, dude, you can say that all you want, buddy.
All right. Well, you know, you do. You get some of those guys that just and usually those guys are usually the weakest. It's usually the upstanding guys that are the scary ones, you know, like, it's the ones that walk around with the chip on their shoulder that are the ones that are the easiest fight, I believe. I'd rather fight a dude with a bad attitude than a happy guy.
It's kind of like what Jose Aldo was saying in his post-fight press conference this weekend. You know, he's like, we put on a good fight so that we can have fat pockets. You don't fight to not make money. I mean, you're there to make money. That's the point of fighting. And you put on a great fight, and both guys leave with fat pockets, and everybody's happy.
That's true, yeah. To find yourself and money, yeah, it's a combination of things, I think, why we fight. But, yeah, money's definitely an issue, man. You know, so.
Colt, we've got about 5 more minutes with you, and 2 things I want to touch on before we run out of time is, one, I want you to maybe talk a little bit more about your gym, the location, some of the programs you guys got there for the listeners tonight, and then I also want you to take some time after that to give shout-outs, thank yous to sponsors, social media ways, anything you want to say, you know, but so that way we don't run out of time and you have a chance to say all this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, well, our biggest main supporter is the Lower Tavern, actually. You know, Terry Negretto, Jim Passer, they own the Lower Tavern, which is Andy Negretto's parents. and they have they've supported us since day one with this with the fighting thing. They've helped out financially. They're one of our they're our biggest sponsor. And then we got a Orcas Island Athletic Center. That's where we train at. First of all, we tore down a wall in my buddy's gym, not in his gym, in his house, and we bought some mats, and that's what we were training at first. You know, we were training in the house until we got to this athletic center. They're sharing a room with us, letting us rent out a room. So, you know, that's what we're doing there. We got, you know, that's just basically it right now. You know, we train, you know, a lot of jiu-jitsu, a lot of boxing, kickboxing, pretty much the norm of MMA sport. So, I mean, we're just starting out. We're just a small group of guys. Like I said, they've already had a couple fights, each one of my amateurs. And, we just got a lot of support from the locals. That's the main thing, is that everybody is supporting us. So, but we're still small, and we're willing to hang out with anybody and doing anything. Oh, and yeah, never mind. I'll leave that one alone. That's it. I was about to start some stuff, but no, I'm not going to say that. So, yeah.
You got any sponsors for the fight you want to make?
No, man, you know, just Lower Tavern, really, the Athletic Center, they're, you know.
What do they got on draft down there? It's a bar, right?
Oh, yeah, it's a bar, man. Yeah, it's a bar. They got everything, you know. If you're from the Orcas.
I run a bar myself down here in Oregon, and I just, if they're listening, there's a beer by Wild Ride Brewery out of Redmond, Oregon, called the Bitch Stout. Man, is that an amazing, if you're a stout drinker, we're about to celebrate International Stout Day next week at my bar, but that's one of the best stouts I've ever had in my life, man. It's a good beer. I don't know how much you get to drink because you train all the time, but
I haven't had a beer in a month and a half, man. It's been pretty depressing, so.
Do they serve food down there at the bar?
Oh yeah, they do food, beer, you know, the music, pool. They have live bands all the time. I mean, it's a great atmosphere, and it's a good place to be. So, yeah,
I like it, man. Well, you know, I want to tell you, Colt. I'm excited. We're gonna get to watch you. If the fans around the world that don't live close enough to make Battle at the Bay 9 and get tickets and go hang out. We're going to get to watch you on the stream. So I know there's a lot of fans around the world that will be watching that just enjoy that local MMA scene. So I want you to go out there, have fun, do what you do, man. Go for that victory.
Hey, yeah, man. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Now, thanks. Thanks a lot for having me on the show. And I'll see you guys sooner than later. I'm sure I'll see you. So,
now, hey, right. I just want to make sure that before I let you go, were you going to call somebody out? Is that what you didn't want to go about?
Call
him out, dude. Call him out. Call him out.
Oh man. It's pretty bad. It's a guy. He doesn't even fight professionally. He's a wannabe. He's a fake that scams people out of their money, and he's had like one amateur fight. And he's not pro or anything. He'll never be able to fight me either. So, I guess it's kind of pointless. But yeah, he is. He's a chump, and he knows who he is if he's listening. So,
That's even worse. You didn't even say his name. That's good.
Yeah. I don't need to throw his name out there because he knows. He knows. He knows how low he is. So, anyway.
Coke, go have a good night. Relax. Enjoy the last bit of fight camp and. I know we'll have Peter at the event covering it live. I'll be watching you fight, man. Good luck, man.
Hey, thank you.
Later, brother.
Later, guys.
Later, Cole.
Everybody, Koga Combat, man. You guys could get tickets over at, I believe, Combat Games MMA. You guys that do not live close enough like you fans out in the Midwest, I know HR, you're listening tonight, too. I know you'll probably be watching that event like last week. So you guys all can watch this kid go do work. It's going to be a great night of fights. Here in a minute, we should have his opponent, Jeff Sweeney, calling in. And then Joe's going to wrap up the show with us.
No, Michael Imperato is going to wrap. No, that's next week, right?
Yeah, no, that's next week. Ooh, I'm super excited about that, man. I'm glad that Pat hit us up on that. Because do you know what's funny is, like, 3 hours before that, we were talking about it on the BS show. Boyd was kind of, you know, and Rick were kind of going at it because they both have different points of view on it. And I like Rick's answer. Rick goes, "You're a dumbass, you're a dumbass, you're a dumbass. It's all bullshit." He goes, "They're all wrong." But Boyd is,
What was Boyd's take?
More along the lines of us that, you know, a mistake, a verbiage mistake at that. As far as I know, this kid was not, like, burning crosses and, you know, flying, you know, some kind of, like Nazi memorabilia at his house or anything. And we're going to ask him, you know. I'm not afraid. I'm going to ask him, how deep does this, you know, quote-unquote racist hatred supposedly you have go? Because I believe he made a word that too many, you know, today people, you know, deem and have for some time as a racist word, unless you're in certain situations with certain ethnicities, and then it's not. So I think that A, him not being an American, B, where he grew up, and C, what he believes are all going to make an issue onto who he really is and why, what, and how it was said, how it was meant. I don't think you can just say because he said that word and somebody who was jealous leaked it out, you know, and it was on tape, that he's some kind of bad guy and doesn't deserve his shot that he rightfully earned. But if it turns out that he's like, you know, hey, Skip, look, I've been burning crosses for 25 years. The guy's got problems. We need to make sure that guys like this aren't in the sport.
Well, dude, for me, it's like this, dude. This is the second Canadian fighter that has snitched somebody out for something that happened, like, years ago. Like, the first one was Tyler Manoaroa when he was on The Ultimate Fighter.
Yep.
I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head. This is how much I care about this guy. But, like, Tyler posted something on his Instagram, like, 3 or 4 years ago when he was, like, 16 or 17 that was a joke. And this guy, like, makes a huge deal about it. And then the next thing you know, the UFC's like, oh, we can't have this racist. And I'm like, the dude is probably a minority anyway. And, you know, this was when he was a teenager. If we're going to hold everybody accountable for what they did as a teenager, then, dude, nobody would be able to work. This is kind of a sore subject for me right now because I had some stuff from my past come up and haunt me recently. And it's just like, you know, I've paid my penance, I did my whatever, and I still have to pay the penance for that.
Yep.
So, I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
So, what events are coming up this weekend? Invicta 9. Pancrase, Deep, CFFC 40, is it 43 or XFE 43? XFE was last week, I think it was 46. It's got to be the Lyman Good, and isn't that this Saturday?
Yes.
What are you doing?
I'm realizing that I'm such a moron. Hold on, I'm trying to fix something big time. I screwed up really bad.
Awesome, way to go. My wireless is not working today. I have zero internet at my house, and I can't get my phone to change over to do data during the call. What the hell is going on here? This should not be that difficult. Dude, but I am going to say this, man. I really think Amanda Bell is going to go out there and continue her hot streak that she started on Marina Shafir about 2 months ago. And I'm expecting a good finish. I really think that when she went to Enix, that was the kind of personality that Amanda really needed to go with as far as a coach. And somebody with Enix big fight experience, I understand a lot of people may not be familiar with him, but he's fought some of the upper echelon guys. He's got, you know, fight history on WEC, Tachi fights. He's been in the cage with Uriah Faber. You know, there's not much that Enoch has not been through, if anything. And I really think that that was a great fit for Amanda to allow Enoch to really help with her striking, which I think was her kind of downfall early in her career. Her grappling has always been superior to most women. But I really think she needed some help in the striking area, and I think Enoch's really been able to provide her with that, and it's just a great fit.
Oh, I
can't
disagree.
I'll just talk to myself.
I can't disagree. Hold on.
What
I totally
– dude,
I booked – I don't know how I did this. I booked Joe – DeRobio and Jeff Sweeney for next week. And I booked Colt for this week, even though it was all supposed to be one show.
You're the man, dude.
So what I'm doing is I'm trying to move it around to where I can get Jeff Sweeney on next week to open the show, and then we'll bring Derek on, and then we'll finish with Mike. Old. But I want to touch on that because all this kind of went crazy for a second. Look, the guy that snitched him out has had a big beef with this kid for some time. And just days before he signed to take this fight for the UFC, they were having, you know, a back and forth on Twitter. And when he signed for the UFC, he tweeted out moments later, "Oh, this is bullshit. I'll make sure this doesn't happen." Something along those kind of lines, you know. He threw out a kind of a threat, and then he came out with this shit. I think that's wrong. Look, I think jealousy. Look, I think that Dana might have known about it, even seen it or heard of it, or found out about it at a later date and been like, "Okay, whatever. It's done. It's over with. It was a while ago. It doesn't matter. You know, it's not who he is." But I think because this guy started shit, is why this guy got screwed, and I don't think it's right in any way, shape, or form. And I think this guy should be given a fair shot, man. He's not some, major, like, anti, you know, white, racist, you know,
well, dude,
person.
How do you let a guy, walk around with a brown pride tattoo and say, "Oh, that's, he's just proud of his culture"? But if I walk around with a white pride tattoo, I'm a racist.
Well, you know, that's something that, you know, me and you both have seen in forums, had people talk about it on shows we've been on. You know, a lot of people in the MMA world have asked that question, you know, what is racist and what is not? And you know, it's like all sports. Race is a very fine line in and out of sports. But in sports, because there's so much money on the line, racism, I think, sometimes might be addressed differently than it should be because of money, because ultimately that's the greed of money, you know? So,
it's kind of like this whole thing, and now all of a sudden it's a big deal to say the word Redskins. I don't hear the word Washington Redskins and then think, "Oh, yeah, man, we're really going to oppress the Native American." I sit there and think, man, dude, you must be a badass if this football team wants you to be their mascot. Why would a sports franchise be like, "We want these people that we look down upon to be our sports mascot"? They wouldn't do that. You don't see a team out there running around called the Parakeets. There's no, you know, the Pittsburgh Parakeets. There ain't no weakness in, you know, out there in a sports mascot. Dude, they look for things of strength, man. Spartans, Warriors, Lions, Tigers, Yankees. You know, the only one that's weak I can think of is the Boston Red Sox.
Well, you know, I mean, ESPN did a thing eight, 9 months ago. They did a thing, and they talked to one of the guys who was around when the whole formation of the Washington Redskins happened. And the owner had gone to the coach at the time and said, "What are we going to name the team?" Now, I can't verify this. Obviously, this was a guy that ESPN brought on. I believe it was on the Scott Van Pelt show. So, you know, it's probably his facts were probably checked. The guy's legit. He's a good host, great show. not as good as Colin Cowherd's show. That's the best sports talk show radio out there. But long story short.
Get off the pipe.
Oh, my God. Colin,
that
dude.
That guy's a bozo.
The Herd is the man, dude. I'm a Colin Cowherd fan. But either way, when the owners came to the coach, he said, look, I grew up partially Indian or living with Indians. I don't remember exactly, and so I don't want to quote it, but he said, where I came from, basically, the toughest guys, the guys with the most respect, the guys who were the warriors were called Redskins. Oh, let's name the team the Redskins. That's an honor. That is saying that you are taking something, a phrase they use and bestow upon their greatest warriors with the most respect, and you want to emulate that onto a football team. That is an honor. In no way, shape, form is that a racist movement.
Yeah, no, dude, that aligns up with what I was reading about how back in the, you know, when the Native Americans would get in a war with people, that the strongest, bravest warriors were allowed to paint themselves with the blood of their enemy. And that's where the term Redskin kind of came from, or like what this guy was saying. I can't remember his name. But he was saying that was where the term the Redskin first came, was that these guys would paint themselves with the blood of their enemy as a show of strength and bravery and warriorship. And it was like, you know, that was, like you said, the top-notch guys in their group.
So to me, that would be like, hey, that's an honor, man. I'm coming out here, and I'm putting on the red and gold every Sunday for the Washington Redskins. I'm going to be the baddest man on that field. I'm going to have this game locked down. I'm going to be respected. I'm going to be loved, and I'm going to play my heart out. Okay? What's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? If I go put on, and I'm just going to say it because he's listening, some ugly blue and white, you know, outfit and call myself a royal, what the hell's a royal? What is it? Have you ever seen a royal driving down the road? No. It's
yeah,
made up
the
word.
Prince, dude.
You know, I mean, dude, come on now.
The one that sticks out to me is I wouldn't want to be a California angel. Like, oh gee, thanks, dude. I sound like a wuss.
Dude, like, I'll be honest.
You know, like, what would they say? What would people say if it was the California Crackers?
I would love it. I would wear that. I would go out and buy their shirts.
It's not the Cleveland Indians. It's the Cleveland Crackers. Do you think anybody would be saying anything? No.
So, and that's a good,
It's white guilt. It's white guilt that these liberals have tried to put upon us all, where they want to try and take advantage of everything.
Well, how come they're not, you know, throwing a fit over the Blackhawks? How come they're not throwing a fit over the Florida Seminoles? I mean, the way they are about the Washington Redskins. Is it
I remember it used to be the St. John's Redmen. Back in, like, the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, obviously before that. But when I was a kid, it was the St. John's Redmen. And now they're – I can't think of their damn mascot name now. But they changed it because people are like, oh, that's disrespectful. Disrespectful. You know, my thing is this, dude. Why do we marginalize animals? I don't know that a tiger wants to be the mascot of my high school. Do you think that he wanted to be the mascot of a team that never won a state championship? Probably not. He was probably embarrassed. But he has nobody to sit there. You know, I think PETA should really get on this. And we shouldn't have animals be the mascots of teams because we're marginalizing them. The Miami Dolphins, the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, we're marginalizing these animals by making them our mascot. I don't hear the Fighting Irish complaining about Notre Dame, you know.
Now, that is definitely a stereotype that people don't seem to take as racist. They think it's funny in mainstream America, but you're making fun of a culture being drunken fighters, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, they're, you know, I mean, why isn't that, you know? We should talk about something else because I'll tell you what. There's some big things in the works. We just brought on a new team member to start covering local events in Brazil. Man, that girl's got 11,000 followers on Twitter. I was loving that.
She posts nude pictures all the time.
Oh yeah. God, isn't she cute? Wow, she is a cute.
I don't know. I haven't seen her.
Oh, she is just a Brazilian knockout. But and then we've also got a new guy, Dave Meir, down in Albuquerque. Is he
related to Frank?
No, but he is definitely really excited to be joining the team. He used to work for another website out there that was covering MMA, and he since left them and contacted us, and he's like, I'm going to be covering boxing, the wrestling scene, and the MMA scene in the Albuquerque area. And he loves to write, man. He's like, I want to write. So I was like, dude, here you go. Here's your password. Log in, write your heart.
I think in two days, my buddy Burchick will be in New Mexico at Waxins.
Dude, Burchick got so much love on the BS show. Boyd said he's been doing research on him. And he started watching videos and reading about him and interviews. He said if he changes his last name to his mom's last name, he said, hands down, they will pump him more than they pump Conor McGregor. He said he has every single attribute. He said, dude, to get into the Latin market, he said, Anthony Burchak has every single attribute you would want as a company to push yourself into the Latin market, especially with Kane being down for another 9 months.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm just glad that he's in the UFC, and if the fact that his last name is Burchak instead of Gonzalez, then that's just foo-foo on the UFC's part. They can still promote him as a Latin fighter because that's what he is, man. You know, and he's incorporated this new boxing coach. I can't think of his name. CZZR Boxing down there in Tucson. He's rolling over at Northside BJJ, still getting his time in at Rise, and he's also incorporated his some Muay Thai with I can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head. But then he's going to close his camp up, I think. Well, I don't know how long he'll be at Jackson's, but for a while he's going to go over there, work with Cub Swanson, and get ready. I'd like to see him go up to Colorado and work with Gaethje. I really think that could be beneficial for him. Justin's a beast, and so that'll be good.
Yeah, very, very proud of what Anthony's been able to accomplish in the last 4 years. You know, just it's impressive. And I'll tell you what, there's we've talked to a lot of kids who are starting to make waves in the bigger leagues, and we watched them when they were younger.
I just hope my guy Brandon Thatch gets back in action soon, man. I miss watching that guy fight.
Hey, did I not see that in December that Dave Kershane's fighting on a Titan card?
Yeah, they moved it back like 3 weeks after the other card or something.
Yeah, which is the Ricci card this weekend in Yoshida.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it might be 4 weeks or something. I don't know. So it's not far out.
Cool.
So while they canceled this fight, this one, they did give him another one. Has anybody heard what happened to the Herrera-Betzel fight? I haven't heard, but I haven't seen Gian on...
The fight got canceled,
I know. Yeah, no, I'm wondering why, because that didn't seem like a fight that they would want to cancel. I mean, Matt's coming back from a gold medal at the FILA team trials in Hungary. And, I would think that you would want to showcase him and John. I mean, that's going to be a great flyweight fight. They have a little bit of history, so they'll be able to really sell the fight. I'm not sure what the history is exactly. But
there's a fight,
more than willing to find out.
There's a fight on this Titan card coming up that I'm actually bummed to see that he's, left the Russian market and come back to America, because I think he's done. I think that four-loss fight streak he had to end his run in M1, I think it changed him. I don't think he's the same guy anymore. I don't believe he's the same fighter. You know, I mean, this isn't the guy that we saw come in and take out Gashavelli. You know, the baddest man on the planet at the time and make it look easy, not once but twice, you know? So,
interesting.
You know, I mean, I know that, you know, Gulav or Gulava or however you say his name, you know, took him to two nasty wars, but I don't know, man. At the Hall of Fame against Kovacs, he looked sluggish. He didn't look on point. I thought the fight could have been stopped in the first round. He came back and laid on him and got the victory. But it's not the the deuce we saw that fought like Pat Bennett and, you know, fought Maxim Grishin and Joe Brown and all those guys over there in Russia, man. And I mean,
Alexander.
Yeah, I mean, dude, the list is, I mean, he fought some great guys over there, you know. So, I don't know. I'm concerned that he's over here fighting because he's a Florida boy and they're trying to draw tickets. You know, that's the only thing, you know.
He needs a paycheck.
That fight, I think another fight on that card that people probably aren't paying attention to is the Jose Figueroa-Tyler Stinson fight. I think Stinson could come in there, and I think Stinson has a good chance to come in there, really, and win this fight. I think what Stinson's last loss was Berkman. He got obliterated. But before that, you know, he'd been fighting Strikeforce and regional events and doing pretty well for himself. I think he's a decent fighter. I don't think he's going to ever be a great fighter. But I don't believe that – I don't know. I don't think Jose Figueroa is going to take him. I know Jose's got the better record, and Jose just took out Dom Steele, a guy we know and love, at Gladiators of the Cage, I believe.
Yeah, I got Jose winning that fight in the first round, Bill.
Do you? See – I got a feeling Stinson's going to catch him with a punch. Stinson's got a lot of fucking KOs and a lot of TKOs throughout his career, and that's something that seems to hinder Jose Figueroa. If he can't get him to the ground quick enough, you know, he loses most of his fights via punch, TKO. That's why I think Stinson, especially off the last couple of fights he had right before that Berkman fight, he was on a really good tear, really finishing guys in devastating fashion. And then he got clipped, you know, by Berkman, who Berkman's a beast, let's be honest, you know. Berkman was like a 495 in that fight going into it, you know. I mean, everybody saw it happening. But I just don't know.
What did you think about Josh Berkman saying that he kind of purposely lost that fight in that tweet? Did you read that tweet where he was like, "I didn't really try," when he lost to Steve Carl?
Dude, first of all, if that's true, I just lost all the respect in the world for that guy. Second of all, it can't be true. I mean, there's no way. That's him trying to feel pity for himself or some pathetic crap, because there's no way that a professional fighter throws a fight. I don't believe it. I mean, I think Steve Carl got in there and did what he had to do. Wasn't it a submission, a choke?
Yeah.
But it was late. It was late in like round 3 or 4, maybe even 5. I know it was late in the fight. It was in title rounds. I know. I remember that much. It was in title rounds. So if you're gonna throw a fight, you don't wait, you know, 30 minutes. You know what I mean? You throw the fight, you know, when you had the opportunity. And Carl had him hurt more than once, and had him in submission positions to go for a finish more than once. So don't give me that crap. You lost.
I agree,
and
man.
And you know what? And because you lost, I'm going to tell you right now, if you threw that fight, Hector Lombard's going to beat the living shit out of you for it. Because if that was you at your best and then throwing the fight, you're in a lot of trouble, son.
Yeah, I like Lombard at 170, dude. He's a beast, man. That judo is just disgusting. I've never seen anybody manhandle Jake Shields like he did.
Oh, amen. You know, hey, you know, it's the hour. Show was not what I expected. I messed up. Next week we'll get Jeff Sweeney on to talk about his side of the fight. Then we're going to talk with Derek from Budo and then Michael to finish it all off. Next week will probably be about an hour and a half show, folks, because we want to give him some time. Baki, like always, thank you, brother. Another great show.
That's right, buddy. It was a blast, and I'll talk to you later tonight.
Eagle!
Osprey.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready for a night of incredible